Nitin Obit, welcome to Eye on the Arctic.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Inuit Tapirit Kanatami came out with a position paper on the Arctic policy framework. Tell me, when the government, the Liberal government, came out with this idea of having an Arctic policy framework in 2016, what was your reaction to it?
In December 2016, the Government of Canada pledged to co-develop a new Arctic policy framework with Indigenous peoples, with territories, provincial partners. And the intent was to replace Canada's Northern Strategy, which was created in 2009. We welcomed it. The ability to co-develop the Arctic policy framework was something that Inuit leadership was keen to do with the federal government. In conjunction with that announcement, the Prime Minister actually had pledged to me that there would be an Inuit Nunangat section in this new Arctic policy framework. So that was also something that we welcomed, to have a specific portion of this framework that was solely focused on the development of Inuit Nunangat and Inuit interests within that space. So it was a very positive thing when the government announced this, and we've been trying to work with the federal government since to differing degrees of success.
So how has it been going? You said differing degrees of success.
Well, we have had a number of different platforms to be able to negotiate content. We have an Inuit Crown Partnership Committee that meets three times a year between senior federal cabinet ministers, the Prime Minister, and Inuit leadership. And within that space, the Arctic policy framework is one of our joint work plan items, something that we hope to do together, and also meshes very specifically in with the priority areas that we have identified that we wanted to work on together, such as things like infrastructure, economic self-reliance, health and well-being, those sorts of things. The challenge that we've had is that there has not been a progress to an end in the way in which we had imagined it. So the negotiations or the conversations, consultations, whatever we want to describe them as, have been hit and miss. Other interests, such as territorial and provincial interests, also are competing in some ways with Inuit interests. So we're not sure where this is all going to land, but we wanted to be clear that the federal government and all those interested in this process understood what Inuit leadership wants from the Arctic policy framework, and so that's why we created our position paper and released it publicly.
So let's talk about some of these things that you would like to see in the Arctic policy framework in a bit more detail.
Sure. One of the overarching principles is this idea of an Inuit Nunangat policy space. The Arctic has been carved up in all sorts of different geopolitical ways in the past. And the same is true in the Canadian Arctic. In many cases, Inuit Nunangat, our homeland, is divided into different sections so that our policy areas aren't dealt with in a homogeneous way. So you could have economic development policy for an Arctic region, and then a Quebec region, and then a Newfoundland and Labrador region, or the Atlantic region. And Inuit would be affected differently based on falling in those different places. Inuit leadership has said we want to be seen as one geopolitical people. And so the interests of Inuit and the way in which we flow into policy should come from an Inuit Nunangat policy approach. 35% of Canada's landmass, about 50% of its coastline, it is a contiguous space from the eastern part of Canada, from Labrador all the way to the Inuvialuit region in the Northwest Territories and the shoreline part of the Yukon. Massive space, and it's time that the federal government start working with us as key stakeholders within that space rather than thinking of us as being sub-state interests that are below territorial or provincial interests. That's a major principal point that would then color the entirety of the framework, not just the Inuit Nunangat section, but all the other sections that reside within it. We also think that we can work collaboratively with governments within this space. So at the moment, we don't have a political accord or a working relationship on a political level with the premiers that are affected, such as NWT, Nunavut, Quebec, Newfoundland, Labrador. Then the federal interests, the ministers responsible for Crown Indigenous Relations or intergovernmental affairs, northern affairs, and internal trade, and then Inuit leadership. So it would be interesting to use this framework as a starting point for a shared political space where we make positive decisions about Inuit Nunangat and infrastructure within it. We have very specific interests for once we get down to the work. So we need to do so much more in this country to eliminate the infrastructure deficit in our homeland. We still don't have essential infrastructure like ports in our communities or air transportation infrastructure that will be able to be resistant to climate change and also accommodate the growth in many of our communities. And then housing. Housing is an essential piece of infrastructure, and from public housing to family violence shelters to transitional housing from where people are in their lives to the aspirations they have for their lives. These are all things that we hope the Arctic Policy Framework will address. We also then have some social issues that we highlight within the framework position paper, such as suicide prevention and overarching health outcomes for our population. We think that a healthy, educated population is going to be best suited for taking advantage of any opportunities there are in this Arctic policy framework.
So what do you hope to hear or see from your federal, provincial, territorial colleagues in response to this paper?
We're hoping that the ongoing conversations that we have with the federal government and also with provinces and territories is impacted by our positions, that we can come up with a final Arctic policy framework that meets the needs of Inuit, but also meets the needs of the federal government and provinces and territories and all those who are affected by this particular framework. We also hope there will be a continuity between the requests for content and funding within the Arctic Policy Framework and then within subsequent federal budgets or allocations within specific program streams from different departments. So Budget 2019, we would hope that the Arctic Policy Framework will be in place and that there will be funding to implement the framework and the key provisions within it. And those key provisions and the way in which funding flows would be within our Inuit Nunangat policy approach and would address some of our Inuit-specific concerns. We do think that this is still possible. We look forward to working as hard as we possibly can with the federal government and all other players in finalizing the Arctic policy framework.
What has been the response so far? Have you heard back from your colleagues, from the ministers on a federal level, provincial or territorial level?
I have not had conversations since the release of this paper with any of our key partners or any of my political colleagues, but we have had ongoing political conversations and high senior level conversations that have dealt with a number of these items that are in the position paper. So it is just an ongoing conversation, and this allows for there to be accountability and transparency within the Inuit positions within this process. So we've heard back from people who are appreciative of knowing the Inuit positions, and then from our negotiation side, there will be that certainty and continuity of us providing a position and then working on finalizing the text with the spirit of our position paper at the heart of our negotiating positions.
Now, I don't know if you have ever considered this or whether this question has ever been asked, but I'm listening to your comments, and I'm thinking that perhaps it would make sense to have Inuit Nangat as a unified political entity, a political territorial entity as well. So has this ever come up in your conversations of having the entire Inuit homeland united under one single political entity, whether it be a territory or an Inuit province or something like that?
The history of our land claim started with that concept. Before the James Bay Northern Quebec Agreement or the Inuvialuit Final Agreement or the Nunavut Agreement, there was this imagination of an Inuit homeland. Because of all sorts of other extenuating circumstances, we now have four land claim agreements that situate Inuit rights regionally with specific governments and in specific processes with the federal government. At the Inuit Circumpolar Council General Assembly in August in Ukiavik, Alaska, there was a lot of talk about this idea of Inuit unification on a political level. So I think it is still a dream for many Inuit leaders that we as Inuit would be more united, not just in spirit, but also in the way in which our society functions, whether it be politically or whether it be through air links or food security and sharing our food between communities and one another. There are all sorts of ways I think that we can work towards that dream of being more united as Inuit in Inuit Nunangat. But for right now, the policy space is what we're trying to push for. Who knows what the future holds for changes in the way that we politically govern ourselves.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
Happy to do it.